This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack out this week for paternity leave again, though Honest Jack, his AI counterpart who cannot tell a lie, will deliver the top 5 at 5 later on.
Okay.
We are talking about whether Saquon Barkley's 2024 season is the best individual season in Philadelphia sports in the last 50 years. Ike says yes. I have him third behind Moses, 82-83, and 80 Schmidt. Iverson has been mentioned as well. We've had a vote for, and by the way, you can if somebody else mentioned it, you want to argue something somebody else mentioned, that's fine as well. We had Carlton's 28-win season and then Roy Halladay in 2010. So A.J. Brown was on the Kicking It With D podcast. Fran, do you know who D is? I don't know what this podcast is.
No clue, to be honest. Okay.
Kicking It With D.
Yeah. Is it D. Brown? It doesn't look like D. Brown. So the we have a couple of clips from this, and we'll have more. The first one, do we have the one of him explaining his Instagram post, right? Okay, this is, I have not heard this yet. So they asked AJ about his Instagram post. They came the 2 days after the Super Bowl, where he said that, just to recap, he said that winning a championship doesn't feel like he thought it was going to feel, and he only really thrives when he's dominating, and on to next year, so on and so forth. And there was a little bit of a kerfuffle about it. So here is AJ on that Instagram post.
What do you think would have made that moment what you expected it to be? Or maybe there isn't an answer. Yeah, maybe it's just like you said, you like the grind, you like the game.
Yeah.
15 catches, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards.
You know, see, we can get into that too, because I got a dog. His name is Elijah Moore. My dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We always talk about after the game, like, how you feel, bro? He just went off, and I'm like, normal. You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of removed that mentality. It's like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
After the game,
you have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to. And you got to come back down to zero.
Mm-hmm. Or else you right here all day, every day. You right there.
You know, and even if you have the worst game ever, you have to come back down to zero. It's just something to learn from. Mm-hmm. Even if you have the best game ever, something, you got to come back down to zero because you got to learn from it. And I just kind of adopted that mentality, and I didn't know how to cut the switch off. Like, mm-hmm. We just won a Super Bowl. And so I'm just feeling like, all right, what's next? And you know, a lot of people kind of got upset about it, but you know, you really don't understand it, because it's like I make so many sacrifices for this game,
right?
And you know, I'm insane to people who watch me on a daily basis, do these things, and it's like, I'm gonna do this every single day because I'm devoted to my craft. And so the part where I get the thrill from is like when somebody challenged me and try to take what's on my plate.
Mm, dog, and so dog mentality.
That's my fix. That's my fix, because, mm-hmm. like, how dare you think you about to take what I worked so damn hard for? Right. And so that's what gets me going. That's what get my blood going. Like,
Yeah.
You know, and people kind of took it as took the message the wrong way, saying like it was on some selfish stuff, but like it's like, nah, like you just don't understand.
So that's AJ Brown on the Kicking It With D podcast. I think it was interesting him saying after every game you sort of have to zero out whether you had a great game or a bad game, mm-hmm. and he didn't know how to turn that off. Mm-hmm. And that's how he felt after the Super Bowl. And that actually kind of makes sense to me. Not having one game where the job no longer is to prepare for the next week, mm-hmm. and no longer to wash the last week out of your brain, it's to enjoy it. And but I actually understand how that feels. I don't know.
He's not getting the joy that he expected out of winning. He's conquered what he was trying to conquer, but the joy for him is the work towards getting it.
Yeah, and what he normally does is he's like, okay, I think this way about ratings, right? Mm-hmm. Is that every time, I'm not comparing myself to AJ Brown, just trying to put myself in his headspace, mm-hmm. is every time we do well, I smile, I say good, and I'm like, all right, we got to do a show today, whatever.
Sure.
If there was some ratings championship that was the be-all, end-all, and we just win,
right?
I wouldn't even know how to feel after that. Mm-hmm. Because, so I guess what he's trying to say is he is normally, you know, just turning off whatever happened the day before and preparing for the next one, and there is no next one this year, and he didn't know how to turn off that mentality, so he couldn't just sit there and enjoy it.
I think that's all fine and dandy. I think athletes are wired different. I get athletes sort of being in this bubble of the way they see and do things that are different than fans or people who aren't necessarily athletes. The only thing I would say with AJ is that when you tweet something, how could you not expect people to misinterpret what you're tweeting?
Yes,
they aren't athletes. You're tweeting to however many hundreds of thousands of fans you have. You're not tweeting to the 20 or 30 or 50 or 200 athletes you know or have in common with. You're tweeting to all your other fans who don't play football. So how could you not expect them to, or at least some of them, to interpret what you're saying a different way than what you're intending for it to be interpreted? So it's great that he cleared it up, because this is why speaking on the radio is much better for what we just, why I don't reply on Twitter about stuff, because I can say something on Twitter and it's just in that caption and then people can run with it whatever way they want to. But I got 4 hours, 5 days a week to explain in detail my thoughts and where I'm coming from, right? Even we're conscious about clips we put out there on the internet. If you clip something from our show, yeah, I don't want you to clip certain things, because if you put that out there on its own,
it's not going to have any context.
It doesn't have the real context of what I was saying.
Right.
So I can't be upset when people react to a clip that's being placed out there. Just like when you tweet something and it's something that only someone in your position would necessarily be able to understand, then you can't be surprised when people misinterpret what you're tweeting.
Yeah, I think him responding to the response to it is the wrong part.
Yeah.
Is that how could you not know that that's how they're going to feel?
At least some people are going to take it a certain way.
I think that the thing that I will always have trouble understanding is, and this is a generational thing, because AJ Brown's, what, 27 years old?
I don't even know if he's 27, is he?
He's been in the league five years, right? 26, 27, whatever he is.
Yep.
Is that there's a whole generation of people, like Jack or whatever, mm-hmm. who have grown up their entire life. When they feel something, they put it on the internet. And there's this thing where, like, you grow up like that, but then all of a sudden, you wake up one day and you're one of the most famous people in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, AJ Brown's not, you know, 10th on that list, but he's certainly a lot closer to one than any of us will ever be.
Yeah.
And I just don't think humans are designed to be able to emote like that and then get the amount of feedback that they end up getting.
Yeah.
And because you can't handle it. Like there's no way you can look at the replies of what he said. So first it's him not totally understanding that people would misinterpret what he said, mm-hmm. and then him getting mad at the people who misinterpreted what he said. But I completely understand how he felt. Like, that makes sense to me how
he
felt.
In full detail, him explaining. I get it as well. I get it. I'm just saying, you can't be surprised when laymen misinterpret what you're putting out there.
Yes.
this is what's going to happen.
So we have another one here, and this is him talking about Coach Sirianni. Is that what we have here, Fran? Or do we have – that's what we got? All right. So here's A.J. Brown on the Kicking It with D podcast. We don't think it's D. Brown. It's not D. Snyder.
It's from definitely Twisted not D. Sister. Brown. At least not the D. Brown from the Celtics.
Yeah, it's not D. Snyder from Twisted Sister. It's some D. Here's him talking about his relationship with Coach Sirianni.
Me and Nick have a great relationship. So you know, you see people. We kind of the same person.
Yeah,
we're fiery a little bit, you know, but we definitely understand each other and. You know, we're gonna talk a little noise.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But our relationship it's got a lot better. Man, we check in all the time. Either I go and sit in his office or we're FaceTime in the week, just checking in, just see like what's going on and you know just how we feeling or what we thinking. You know what I'm saying? And he always like he don't let that friendship side like get in the way of being a coach either. Mm. You know, cause I don't mind him coaching me hard. Like I think the week before we left to New Orleans, like he had chewed me out on a walkthrough, and it was cool. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, sometimes that's needed. You know, because you know you can get too close with people, but it's always a business, and you know
we're
here.
Yeah.
And we don't let that get in the way of our friendship. He's still a good coach, and he's going to coach me hard and coach everybody hard. So, but
I tell you, every time you hear just about every Eagles player talk about Nick Sirianni, it is feels like the best combination of accountability and relatability that you can have in his position, you know?
Yeah.
And it probably helps he's a little younger, too, right? Than you know, the coaches in their 60s.
And he's been a position coach. He's coached that position. He's been here long enough through the good times and bad times. And as long as those guys don't go in the tank when he does coach them hard, then he's always going to feel empowered to coach. Like, that's what you got to be able to do. And that happens with your best players. I've been in that position. And you know, Nick Saban, Kershaw, I could have had 15 tackles in the game. He's going to focus on the three plays where I didn't necessarily get in the right gap I was supposed to be in. I took a block on the wrong way that allowed the ball to bounce out for an 8-yard gain on 3rd and 17. Even though they didn't pick up the first down, we still gave up 8 yards on that play. That's Nick Saban for you. You know what I mean? And he would get on his top players. Andy was the same way. Jim Johnson was the same way. Harbaugh was the same way. Like, good coaches know they have to be able to do that. And great players, more importantly, are willing to accept that. I loved everything I heard from AJ right there talking about Coach Sirianni. No one knew Coach Sirianni chewed him out. Who the hell gets chewed out in a walkthrough? It's a walkthrough.
Right.
So I don't know why he chewed him out or whatever.
And then during the game, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I can understand the game, but in a walkthrough, that's a leisurely thing.
Yep.
That is usually not intense, but something must have happened where Nick felt like he needed to get on AJ. AJ took it, didn't take it personal or anything of that nature, and didn't have a problem recanting it. And speaking about that's how their sort of coach and player relationship is, because he still spoke about talking to each other FaceTime when you're away from the building, checking in with each other. Like, those are things that earns Coach Sirianni, the right and the ability to coach his players hard. It's like being a parent, right? Well, my kids, you know, there's enough love shown. There's enough indifference shown. There's enough spoiling that's gone on throughout their years. I've earned the right to get on them when I feel like I need to get on them. And they don't take it to that, to personal that way. You know what I mean? So there's enough good there is what I'm saying. He's put enough goodwill in the bank on lifting these guys up and encouraging them that he's earned the right to be critical of them and I guess and sometimes have to admonish them when he feels it's necessary to do and his players don't necessarily hold it against him. That's a good thing.
So I think two things about that. First is, no, Nick, like, Nick knowing what motivates his players is important, right? So most players would be motivated by one either better performance or two more money or three winning, whatever. So if when Nick is criticizing AJ and it's about something that's going to make AJ better, then he is going to be more willing to hear it because he knows if I listen, it's going to make me better. And the other thing that I would be interested to know more about, really, is there's, you know, they say, he says they're friends, and I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But there's always this line that you can't totally cross, right?
Yeah.
That you can, you can be friends, but also the relationship has to be one where he's the coach and he's the player.
Sir.
And it's a very, very, very thin line, but it has to stay on one side, or then it's all of a sudden somebody's going to expect preferential treatment because they're friends or whatever.
Yep.
So
yep.
Nick being able to have them feel like they're so close, but also respect him as head coach and the guy calling the shots there, I think is a credit to Nick as well.
It is. And coaches, that's a dance that coaches have to do. And it's even harder for them to do with star players.
Yeah.
It's easy to coach me. You feel me?
No,
it's a lot harder. You got to walk a line with Brian Dawkins.
Well, look.
Or Troy Vincent or Jeremiah Trotter.
I've had the opportunity to coach a linebacker and a fullback and a quarterback. And I can tell you, you got to coach them differently. They don't know. Not everybody.
Well, I know that quarterback you had to coach it. That had to be the hardest one.
Yeah, different. It's different. So we have.
It definitely is.
Do you want to hear AJ talking about Jalen?
Sure.
Okay. So here is AJ on the Kicking It With D podcast talking about Jalen Hurts.
Dude, all I'll ask about Jalen, bro, ain't no way he that damn cool in person.
He
bro.
Cool
why he's so cool
boy.
The whole time, bro. Every address in the media, it'd be like a thought out like civil rights speech he given. Like, and it could just be a it was great. It was this, it was that. I'm like, he cool as hell. He always like that, or that's just the media, Jalen?
Nah, that's he like that.
That's him. That's him.
He like that all the time.
That's him. Damn. Oh, man.
Say less.
You like that all the time.
Say less. I'm crying, bro.
We're going to stop talking about other people.
Well, that was mostly the other guys talking about Jalen, to be honest with you. Look, you heard it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You expected more of a glowing endorsement or something.
Well, it was just like, yo, he's the coolest guy in the world, right? So cool, so cool. Is he always like that? He's like, yeah, he's like that.
You gotta love AJ, man.
I'm not making that up. I'm sorry. That, you know, just say this. You heard the way he talked about Nick.
Right.
You know, like... That's all. Not everybody has to be best friends.
I guess.
Yeah, all right.
It's all good.
So there is some, and we'll get to it coming up. There is some with AJ talking about what the new offense will be like. And he actually talked about Myles Garrett as well. So we'll get to that. We were talking about whether Saquon. By the way, if you have any response to this AJ stuff, which I think is actually interesting. He's an interesting guy. 215-592-9494. What?
When you get to hear him talk, he's always interesting.
He is.
It's the tweets and it's the stuff that's cryptic that people don't know where he's necessarily coming from at times that confuses a lot of stuff.
And I think you could say this about a lot of people when you consume them on social media and then you hear them in long form is I find AJ to be, when he is just talking, one of the... I would say in my adult life, one of the athletes I like watching and listening to the best.
He's engaging. He's thoughtful.
He's
interesting. He has things that he's had to overcome that he's dealt with that also makes him relatable.
Yep.
You know, to people. So you know that side of him is there. You're right. I've heard him in too many other interviews where you know, you're like, man, AJ's a cool dude.
He
AJ's
is
a good dude,
and this is the sound. He's got a good smile.
Yeah.
He seems like a generally like pretty affable guy, you know.
Yeah.
But the difference is that when you see him on social, it is like there's like the angel on the shoulder, AJ, and the devil on the shoulder, and the devil on the shoulder, AJ, is every you know. I like AJ. When I saw that Instagram post, my first reaction was like, here we go. You know, but I never get that from him when I'm just listening to him. I think he's funny and interesting when I hear him. 215-592-9494. Craig in Downingtown. Craig, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What up, Craig?
What up, Craig?
All right. So with the Saquon thing.
Yes.
I'm going to go Saquon 1 and AI 1A.
Oh, you got to have a take, man. You got to pick. Make 1 and 1 and make 1 2.
All right. We'll go with Saquon, and I'm basing it on which one was more fun to watch. I mean, Saquon was just a ton of fun to watch this year. It seemed like every game he did something that I was like, what? What did you just do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took me back to T.O. He took me back. Watching Saquon this year was like watching T.O. in 2004.
It felt like you were watching an entirely different version of what you thought that position could be. Because we forget sometimes, we don't forget, Miles Sanders rushed for 1,000 yards here. DeAndre Swift is a good running back. You know, in 17, you know, Jay Ajayi was a good running back. But we've, and look, we saw LeSean McCoy here.
B. West, Shady. Yeah, we saw a lot of good ones.
Never saw anything like Saquon.
I agree.
It's like he's made in a lab somewhere. I've never seen anything like him. And, you know, it's funny you saying he was more fun to watch than Iverson, because I think I would say the thing that Iverson might have over all of these is fun to watch. I mean, especially
seeing more.
Yeah, and yeah, because he had the ball every single play, you know, and he was the only guy doing anything. Craig, it is it's Charles Barkley's birthday today. He is 62 years old. For next question today, the question is: give us somebody who had a great second act. Who do you got?
I'm going to show my age a little bit, but coincidentally, I'm the exact same age as Charles Barkley. I just had my birthday 2 weeks ago.
Happy birthday!
Happy belated birthday!
Yeah, so. I'm going to show my age. I'm going to go back a bit to a Hollywood actor who happened to be the Screen Actors Guild president and went on to become the president of the United States.
Oh, Ronald Reagan.
And one of the most popular presidents in modern history.
Ronald Reagan. That is a good second act.
Yeah.
And
depends on how you feel about his presidency, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, thank you for the call, Craig. Back when he was president, like, there were Republicans and Democrats. It wasn't, like, crazy like it is now.
Oh, sure.
You know, it wasn't psychotic like it is now.
Reaganomics existed, though.
Yes, it did. It did. Well, we're not talking about policy.
Check this out. I didn't even realize. I don't even know Ronald Reagan as the president. So I didn't find out till later that he was an actual actor. You know what?
Oh,
you know
right.
It was the...
You only knew Reagan as a president.
Yeah, I only knew him as a president.
Right, yeah.
And I think, was it Back to the Future where Doc asked
about...
They
said something about Ronald Reagan being an actor.
Yeah, I think that's when I first realized he was an actor.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
really?
Ronald Reagan was an actor?
Well, because he was an actor in what? Like this? It had to be the 50s
and the 60s. Well, I think it was Westerns, right?
Yeah, because he was... No, I don't think it was Westerns, but he was president in the 80s. It had to be in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then was he governor of California? I think Reagan was. Right, yeah. That's it. That's a strong second act, and the only political second act that's ever happened.
No, all right.
Actually, there's a few. Actually, there's quite a few. There's actor ones. There's athlete ones.
Yeah.
There are other ones.
Reality show
ones. There are other ones. So we will get. We'll talk a little bit about Myles Garrett coming up. AJ Brown did talk about Myles Garrett. Diana Rossini talked about Myles Garrett as well. And we haven't gotten to that Steve Cohen thing too. The owner of the Mets talked about Phillies fans, and we'll continue the conversation on AJ. If you have any thoughts on that, and is Saquon's 2024 the best individual Philadelphia sports season in the last 50 years? 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.